Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a cool guest for the show today, Gina Anderson. She has a history of being an instructional specialist. She's authored multiple best-selling books on medical topics and neuroscience topics. She's been a thought leader in learning science. She's been a twice winner of the Inc. 5000 Award, a twice number one Amazon bestseller author, keynote speaker, motivational podcaster, investor, and she is today the CEO and co-founder of Luma Brighter Learning, where she continues to unlock the science of learning to save lives. Absolutely. Gina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Thomas, so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Pleasure to have you. So let's start off with talking about your background and how it led to what you work on today.
Yeah, absolutely. I started my career as a special education teacher. And Thomas, I was always really interested in why some people could do certain things like tie their own shoe or write their name, and other people really couldn't do that. And for me, I knew there had to be a reason why I could do these things, but those individuals who were my peers at the time couldn't do those things. So I became highly interested in really learning about our brains and very interested in looking at how adults are trained. And that you'd be very surprised that how we consume and we engage in content isn't how we process information and retain content. This becomes very critical for us, for our company, because we train truck drivers. And everything in your office right there, everything in our environments, everything we do is dependent on truck drivers. And so we work with fleets holistically, everyone at their organization, to help them learn. I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic in the psychology area, fellow psychologists. For the audience, it's you've got individual differences in any factor about the human mind. And there's just shocking differences. We all think that everyone's like me, right? But then that's not the case. And there's just differences. And so how do you cater to educational materials to different folks and make sure that you get good success rates, I think is largely the question.
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing is you have to think about, is it an information processing issue? Is it something that someone truly doesn't know? Or is it a behavior change hurdle that you have to move the person forward to make a change in how they perform? And so one of the things I use as an example a lot is everyone knows not to text and drive. Like, you know that, I know that, everyone knows it. But think about this, Thomas, as we're driving down the street, how many times I run, so I see this, how many times do you see people on their phone in the car? Right? Absolutely.
All the time. So here in Houston, it's really all the time.
I know. In Charleston too. And the thing is, it's not that we don't know. That's not an information processing problem. That is a behavior change problem. And so I wear this bracelet. You'll see it here for people who are watching on videos. You have to make a commitment. You have to see if somebody's ready to change. And if they are ready to change, watch them and support them through that change if they're committed to it. And then if they don't, if they break it, kind of tapping into motivational theory, it's so critical.
So for the listeners, she just held up a bracelet that was a large yellow, very noticeable, salient bracelet. And I'm assuming that's, you've made up a certain promise to yourself, I won't do X or I will do X, and you have the bracelet to remind yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I passed them out at an event to see if people were committed and making the choice not to text and drive, because it's not something, like I said, that you don't know. I go out and I share knowledge about how we process information. And it's very interesting when you ask someone if they know something or they don't know it and how you engage in learning to help them with that. So absolutely, it's a commitment to that.
So in terms of what you're building today, you touched on it a little bit, a system for training truck drivers. Is this a service, a product? How does this intersect with the marketplace?
Yeah, absolutely. So we built a platform that actually brings in data from different telematics and different providers. There is a national database for federal motor carriers that track accidents and track specifics that happen in events. And we leverage because we want to see behavior change. Ultimately, we want to drive behavior change. And so with that, with our platform, we can invoke, most people think of content, right? Think of all the content that's in our lives. There's so much content. But for example, our platforms, like our competitors might send out something generic, like a video, be safe in a parking lot. So they send them this silly video about being safe in a parking lot. It's not, again, people know to be safe in the parking lot. So in our platform, we create immersive learning. So you can take your phone and you can scan an environment in less than 5 minutes. You can replicate what a parking lot looks like. And you can drop that just in time in the moment that somebody needs that information. Just-in-time learning is so powerful. They can see the parking lot and then they know what to expect. And then they know to be safe. And so this idea of learning, it has to be authentic. It has to be meaningful. We can't get by anymore with just sending generic content.
Yeah. So I do want to get into this platform and how that comes together. But I like this example you just gave, where instead of taking generic videos, I guess like a standard like HR training videos of don't leave your coffee on your thing because it might spill, and to something that's more interactive. So let's double click on that a little bit and give us an example of an interactive moment that helps someone choose the right behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. So for example, if staying with the parking lot example, if you're going into a grocery store parking lot and there's a yellow pole in the parking lot and you have to back up into a narrow alley in the parking lot, you're not going to know that if you've never been there. I talked to a truck driver last week in North Carolina and I asked her, I'm like, could you use Google Maps for that? And she said, no, because in fact, the building isn't even there in Google Maps. And the drivers can't be on their phone. They need that information before. So the idea to change behavior is to show them exactly what to expect before they get there and say, this is what we have seen at our organization is creating safety hazards, backing up into this pole, pulling into this narrow driveway. And so the platform helps them do that. And showing actual environments to be able to see. And this isn't virtual reality. You don't need headsets anymore. This is something you can do very easily with technology now to create authentic moments. And that's important for emotional resonance and also for information processing.
Okay. I like that example because out here in Houston, we do a lot of enterprise software and we have all kinds of use cases where people are in very remote areas, warehousey type work environments, and the entrance to the place may not be the entrance that you walk into. And there's so many missing pieces there. And oftentimes there's opportunities from a business perspective that you've got the direct-to-consumer software taking care of this wide scope of stuff, but there's still important areas missing that are not served.
Let me tell you another example. This is so powerful because we serve enterprises. You think about emergency exits. This happened to me last week while I was in Tampa. I was giving this example. So at the beginning of the conference, this gentleman goes up and says, if there's a fire in this hotel, be sure to follow the exits. Okay. Nobody in that place knew where the exits were. So I was giving this example of trying, how are you going to get out of this place? And literally I took my phone, I scanned the environment, I showed the exits. If you had that created, that building isn't going to change. They could have dropped that and showed us where all the exits were. We could have all looked at it and known in that moment and potentially been more safe than everyone panicked because you had a plan. Now I'm not making this up, Thomas. I gave this presentation and the fire alarm went off while I was there. And everyone looked at me and said, did you like plan that? And I was like, no, but this is real life. This is real life, like shooting events, all of these things you don't plan for. And then they happen. You can have an active shooter training that's very generic, but in the moment, Because what happens being a learning scientist, I know this, the emotional resonance, the adrenaline, the cortisol that's going through your body is going to impact your thinking. And so you have to have this plan before it happens. And you have to have this authentic understanding of the environment before it happens. And our platform does that. And I think content's just one element of it. The other interaction modes, learner to learner interaction, create the strongest synapse. So talking about that experience with other people can create even a more strengthened memory to be able to recall that later. So we don't just do content, we do all interaction modes. And that's very powerful from a learning retention standpoint.
So what scopes of the reality around us does your platform inform people about? So is it like, you give the example of Google Maps, is it that it's a place that I'll be going and where Google Maps would inform me had this been a more populated area, you're offering that. And then like inside buildings versus just street views, would it give us an idea of the scope of information that we can get from this platform?
It really depends on what you're trying to train the person on, because really the images that you take with your phone encapsulate whatever you would want. And within that, you can embed discussions. So for example, you could have learner discussions about the warehouse that you're in. You could have learner to self-reflective kind of experiences within those environments. So if you wanted to have somebody reflect on if they're ready to change their behavior or they're ready to learn or what they want to learn, those engagements are all embedded. So it's more than just content. It's drawing on the human component of learning to draw in behavior change. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, there is content in there, but any content that you create, it has to be short, micro, and authentic. And we encapsulate that in our platform.
And it's a company purchasing this to use it in its population of employees and workers.
Absolutely. So it's a subscription-based model for our subscription of our platform. People equate it to, isn't this a learning management system? We're like, think about a learning management system, but 2.0, where you can incorporate not only the interaction modes, but we can bring in data to track the behavior change, whether it's from telematics in the truck, whether it's workman comp data. But yeah, it's a subscription base and they actually engage per however many learners they want to interact and interface in our platform.
Is this a space that has competitors and folks trying to fulfill the same thing?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. We are the only learning company. I'm a learning scientist. All the competitors in our space are content providers. And I'm very passionate about this because content does not change behaviors. It doesn't. You can deliver, think of all the scrolling, all the content, AI. You're going to have a lot of content providers popping up everywhere because content's a dime a dozen now, but that doesn't truly change behavior. So we do have what I would say is people would view as competitors in our space because they provide content, but we provide a learning platform, which is different.
This is such an important area in instructional design and other areas of applied psychology where you're worried about behavior, which is that if you want folks to know things, you don't just put it in some PDF and say access to more reading or nobody reads that. And I'd go as far as they shouldn't have to read it. You somehow build it into the environment. So the approach you're taking is extremely conscientious of how do we actually operate and what's going to make behavior get better.
Absolutely. And the one thing that I'm really conscious of is people say, let's coach somebody on this strategy. So individualizing learning is so critical because again, you started this conversation saying that everybody is unique. Our brains are completely depending even on our age and where we are in different generational ages. Our brains, our white matter, our gray matter, our fluid is all different. And so this idea of delivering that PDF check the box to every single person in an organization is not going to help from a retention standpoint or a behavior change standpoint. So I am really passionate about individualizing learning and then providing the resources to individuals to know how to coach. Because it's one thing, like I said, like I wear this bracelet. Now, what if I go text and drive? I've made the commitment, but now what if I go do it? What are you going to say to me? It's like, no, I'm not going to do it. So you really have to tap into coaching and psychology to be able to do it. Learning, Thomas, is both the heart and the mind. And I think that's what's lost with content providers. We're checking the box, but we're not tapping into the potential of humans.
Yeah. So let's think about it. So in a relationship, the relationship that a company has with you and when they get started with your service, so they get the subscription and do they go into a configuration sort of phase where they say, these are the things we care about. And do you help them with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a platform, it's copied. We have over 1500 micro lessons or little lessons that they can customize. So that's the piece of it. If they're able to start not from scratch, and then if they want, they can take each of those e-nuggets, which we call them little nuggets of content, and they can embed those interaction modes within it. So there is about a 6-week give or take period. We've had people launch within 3 weeks. We've had people take 8 weeks, somewhere around there, but they're assigned a learning specialist who helps them understand not only how to use the tools, but understand their goals and help them get there. If they're lacking engagement with learning, like how can we employ the platform to help them increase engagement? We have close to 100% retention, 97% retention on our product. And we've been in business since 2008. And that's because, Thomas, we change behaviors, we save lives. And really, that's the science behind it. But they work with our team and they continue to have that support for as long as they want. And most of our clients are like, Gina, we got this, but we're always checking in because we want to make sure that we hear. One of our core values is our commitment to our customers. We learn from them. We learn so much. They're salt of the earth folks that work with us, and we're really passionate about helping them.
And now when it comes to your product, how close are you, or do you aspire to be, to a kind of a PLG self-serve kind of a framework? So probably lots of folks in the background helping things get set up and all of that stuff. Does it make sense in your business, in your mind, to aspire? And how close are you to that already, where someone could come to the website and say, I want to start using this today and start configuring?
Yeah, so they can. So you can go to our website and you can sign up with a credit card. You don't have to go through a 6-week period. You can start using our platform right out of the box. Those folks usually don't have the bandwidth to customize content or customize learning experiences. So we pre-set up a recommended learning path for you and for the organization to engage in. So we have done that for our industry because there are fleets that don't have the resources to be able to engage in that period of time.
What founders, and maybe not just founders, CEOs, business leaders should be thinking about using this the most?
I would say if you are in a business that is concerned with safety and or retention of content, truly that it impacts your business. For example, in the logistics industry, in the intermodal industry, one accident can put you out of business. There's nuclear verdicts. There's so much ingrained in everyday work, and just one slip in just a minute can change your business forever. And I think that those CEOs that have construction businesses, airplane, anything that really focus on safety, that's why we created the platform to begin with, because we want to change and save lives. We want people to come home to their family. We want the roads to be safer. We want these organizations to realize that it's more than just check the box, because it's not a check the box.
What's on your roadmap from kind of a AI and ML perspective?
Yeah, so we are busy creating LLMs. We are so excited about the potential to be able to leverage. Right now, we use AI to search, to pull up all sorts of documents, to create individualized. We have individualized coaching programs, but we can leverage all the content within Luma to be able to create very fast information just in time when people need it. And the power of that is life-changing, because the fact is you could spend hours researching, or you could use a learning language model to help you move forward and advance forward. I'm a learning scientist, so I'm very passionate about not having AI replace our critical thinking, because that is so critical for us to continue to have healthy minds. But the power of AI and LLMs to be able to help make things more efficient, this isn't something that we're going to wait for. This is something that's happening now. And if you're not leveraging this, you're missing out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't have to, it'll replace a lot of things across the workforce, AI in general, right? ML, but it doesn't have to replace everything. And there's definitely a place in the near term, at least, for human intelligence. Are you able to use data to help self-improve the platform?
Yes, absolutely. So we have a few ways of doing that. One is we get real time. We have over 600,000 learners in our system. We get weekly, every day people leave feedback. They can rate the content. They can leave feedback about what they want to learn. And Thomas, what do you think that drivers say they want to learn about? What do you think?
What would drivers say they want to learn about? Oh, this is going to be one of those unexpected ones. Let's see. Do drivers want to know? I'll just throw something out there. I don't think it's it, but better routes to get places.
Oh, I wish. No. So drivers, drivers who've left feedback in our system. They want to learn about gratitude. They want to learn about depression. They want to learn about financial wellness. They want to learn about how to be healthier. And the thing is, like, how many people out there, how many CEOs, how many founders, if you're doing learning programs, ask your population what they want to learn about. And so the reality is these systems can give you real-time feedback. Where are people going? Where are people engaging? How do they want to process information? What ways of learning really influence them to be engaged and come to the learning experience? Because the first step of learning is having someone's attention. And one way to do that is anchoring curriculum next to stuff they want to learn about. So absolutely, feedback, real-time feedback loops. Not only that, but data from the outside, workman comp claims, data from the vehicles, data, all of these things can show a driver or show a learner, show a warehouse worker where they're at in their behavior performance. And that can help. Okay, I don't even know I'm doing this. I don't think I'm doing it, but I'm actually doing it. Giving them that information to self-correct and self-coach is powerful.
Wow. And so what else should folks look forward to with the development of Beyond AI, your services, your company?
Yeah. So we are always innovating in the learning space. I do see the real potential to really give people the tools to understand how to talk and communicate from a psychology standpoint to really drive behavior change home. Because just to say you coach, there's a lot of companies that are delivering videos and saying, okay, we can automatically deliver videos and coach you. But what does coaching mean? So using LLMs, using technology to give people coaching plans of communication, I think is really critical because we don't know how to coach. You can tell someone to coach, but what does that mean? So I feel there's a big need for that and we're going at it.
Awesome. And where should people get started when they want to start using Luma Brighter Learning?
Yeah, go to lumabrighterlearning.com and you can learn about us there. You can find us on the web. You can find me on LinkedIn, learningwithgina.com. I'm happy to help. And yeah, I look forward to seeing people.
Awesome. This is so exciting. Look forward to seeing how this all progresses and evolves over the years. Gina Anderson, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.